One of the best parts of the show is when Brian talks in his low voice.
Texas arson and murder.
Suck my dick, United.
Does your penis have a knuckle?
I went to a porn concert. Oh my.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. I am, as always, the host of the show. My name is Brian Beckner. I thank you very much for joining us. Episode 164, as I said. Do check out our Facebook page, the Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. I was fortunate enough to join another podcast earlier this week, a beer-centric, I would say beer and sports and just kind of guy talk. The Unfiltered Gentlemen were kind enough to have me on their show. I very much appreciate that. And if you want to check out me on their show or just check out their show in general, they do a good show. You can find a link to my segment, my appearance on their show via our Facebook page, The Baller Lifestyle Podcast on Facebook. So check that out. Thank you very much again to the Unfiltered Gentleman. Joining me now, as always, of course, it's Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
I'm doing well. I think we should start the show because this will be posted probably on his birthday. Happy 70th to the fucking legend, David Letterman.
David Letterman, he's got that beard going. He's in just a I don't give a fuck mode right now.
And I feel like we just have to appreciate a guy like that or just legends in general because, you know, this past week, it's just because we have reached the age of entertainers and now old, like this will just be constant. You know how like people are saying 2016, but like now we're just going to lose legends all the time now. And, yeah. You know, we lost Rickles and he was maybe the best talk show guest of all time.
Yes. He just so had a skill of just talking shit that was his whole act was just so legendary that he could just rip anybody at any moment. Such a genius. I was always aware of Don Rickles, but when he wrote his book, Mr. Nice Guy, I can't remember what it's called, but
I think it was Mr. Warmth.
That's it. I read his book and I just was such a fan ever since. And this is why you cannot take anything for granted. He was still touring right up until the end and he would play around a lot and he played, you know, Vegas often, and he would play near where I live a lot. And I never pulled the trigger and went and saw him. And I really am regretting that now that I never saw Don Rickles live.
Yeah. And it's been repeated a lot. The stuff he did with Sinatra, I love the story that Sinatra corroborated that he was with a chick at a casino or something eating dinner. And he said, Frank, can you stop by? It would mean a lot to, you know, for her to see that I know you. Can you just stop by the table at some point? And Frank was at the bar and so like, all right. So then, 20 minutes later, he comes by the table and he goes, hey, Don. And he goes, not now, Frank, I'm eating dinner.
So good.
That's a good story. And I love the story where he was talking about, I think he was at Letterman and he was like, people talk a lot of, say a lot of bad things about Frank. But I saw him save at least two lives. And he's like, really? How'd you do that? And he goes, well, I saw one time when Frank had his goons beating someone up in the back. He said, I think he's had enough.
Good.
So he saved their two lives. But yeah, we got to appreciate. And, you know, there are some legends. I mean, I think they had like a weekly dinner with their wives. Newhart is, I looked him up. He's 88.
Yeah.
I mean, there's legend. Mel Brooks is 90. Carl Reiner's like 93, 94. Yep. Man, there's just, you know, you got to appreciate these guys.
They're all going to start ticking off soon.
Woody Allen's not looking so hot.
No.
There are a lot of legends out there.
Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
He's nearing the end.
Fallen angel.
Gonna be tough to eulogize him.
He's gonna get overtaken by skin tags. I think, you know, it's not that I defended him, but I was less outraged than most. But I think it's, you know, an appropriate time to point out what a shithead Brian Williams is.
Yes.
This past week, where he gave this like poetic, majestic, you know, speech about Tomahawk missiles. It's like,
it was weird.
Even if you're fucking like, you know, agree with the action, like even World War II, like, you're not supposed to be just fucking like turgid over the fact of like war and death. Like, what is he, 6 years old?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe if those Tomahawk missiles had hit the presidential palace, I could be a little more excited.
And I just wanted to tell a quick brush with death I had this weekend.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
These are always visited the Charm City with the wife and kids.
In Baltimore.
Yeah.
Did you rally with Chris in Maryland? I know that this has been threatened on several occasions.
Hey, I would love to get a beer with the guy, but you know, with the kids, it was a tough, you know, we went to two Oriole games.
Oh, fantastic.
And it was a nice weekend. However, Saturday night, Michelle wanted something, I don't know, something basic. And I was like, all right, well, it should be all right. I'll just go to the local 7-Eleven. Like, there was something a couple blocks away. Now, we were teetering on the edge of where you can't go in Baltimore.
Yeah.
It's like, how fucking bad
is it? The west side or the east side? I always forget my wire geography.
Well, in a sense, both were bad. Right. I know Carmelo Anthony has the WB symbol on his shoulder.
West Baltimore.
Yeah. But I figured, you know, a quick 7-Eleven trip. The street was relatively well lit. It wasn't like I was going at 3 in the morning. I was going at 10 at night.
That's still pretty late, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was probably okay. And it was not okay. Oh. And I went in there, and there were 15 kids, ranging from 13 to 19.
Oh, not good. Not good.
I was the only white person in there.
Yeah.
There were a couple Korean people behind the counter.
Mm.
There's a lot of commotion, and I was in the zone. I was going to get like toothpaste.
Head down, looking straight ahead.
Head down, no eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sifting as I'm in the back aisle. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna give fucking cash and walk. We'll, like, right. Leave the change, whatever. I like cost $3.50, here's $4. I'm walking. So then there's commotion in the front. All of a sudden, the lady, the Korean lady, is screaming.
Oh, no.
And the guy locks the door.
Uh-oh.
And they're waiting for the cops. And the lady is holding a kid. And they're wrestling. And they're screaming. And I'm just trying not to make, you know, it's one of those scenes where you just don't want to make eye contact. Like, I feel like it's like, you know, when the new people come into Oz or something, yeah, like that. Just, you don't want to piss the wrong person off. And there was screaming and oh, we're waiting for the police. And like, there's a kid wrestling a Korean lady, mm-hmm, at the door. The guy has locked the door. Nobody's taking my money. I'm holding toothpaste. And it didn't feel good. And it felt
high tension. You know,
I didn't know what to do. And I just stood there and I feel my phone buzzing like crazy because Michelle realizes I've been gone for a long time. And but so obviously I got out alive, but it was not until there was a wrestling and then one of the other kids unlocked the door and it was like jailbreak. And I just went with the guys escaping for, yeah, maybe trying to rob the store. So like there were kids running out with items and I did hand the guy my money and I left too, but it felt very tense in there. But anyway, then as I'm getting back in the elevator of the hotel, it's like, are you alive? Please text.
Yeah.
You didn't go get a beer somewhere, did you? Like, it was all these random texts. Please respond. But yeah, you gotta tread carefully in the Charm City.
Very, very, you gotta be very careful out there. What were they trying to jack? Do you know? Was it a beer run situation?
It was 7-Eleven. Who the fuck knows? But again, I didn't make eye contact. Yeah. And the Koreans were not screaming in English, so I wasn't sure what they were doing.
Well, you know that the Korean shop owner, he was armed.
Yeah, I was actually kind of fearing the lady the most.
And he was he's been in that situation before. So if things were going to escalate, he was ready.
Yeah, and I didn't want to be making, you know, snap judgments, but it was clear like these 15 kids were all together, which is odd. 15 kids don't roll together.
Yeah, Michael, Daquan, Randy.
But if I didn't see the canard scene, I wouldn't feel quite as threatened in a convenience store.
Canard caught Omar slipping.
Do not sleep on canard.
No.
So yeah. So I was thinking in my head, and it's terrible because I don't want to think that way. But like, there was commotion, there was stuff going on, and I just want fucking toothpaste.
Yeah, Charm City,
Charm City. But I gotta tell you,
Ed, Postmates.
Every time I go to Camden Yards, spectacular.
It's on my list of ballparks. Heard just nothing but good things.
What you want to do is go there and then either stay right in the Inner Harbor or you just go down to D.C. and find something else to stay, because you go two blocks away and it's not so good.
Good idea. So I had my re-up with Birkenstock guy.
Oh, wait, what? Oh, did you have to bring in like samples of shoes?
No, I brought in my clogs to be repaired. And I had to pick him up. He had to keep him for a week because he had to get the material to make the new soles or reattach them or whatever. So he got, and remember, he had given me a long lecture about my socks.
You were walking, and he also said you shouldn't, your socks and don't walk on hot coals or something.
And don't wear flip-flops. Never wear flip-flops. And so I get there and there's like a little note on his door and he's like upstairs doing paperwork. So I call him and I'm like, hey, I'm here. And he comes down from upstairs and I see him coming down the stairs and he looks down at my flip-flops and he like clutches his chest. And then he does this noise. Like, and he's like shaking his head. Shaming me and my flip flops, and then
you're probably his only customer.
It appears that way. He claims he's been there for 45 years. It's pretty dusty in there too. So he rolls down and he's like, "You do not walk to the parking lot in those floppies." Like he's really freaked out that I'm going to injure myself. He's like, "You have no idea how bad those are for your ankles, knees, hips, and back." And I'm like, oh,
does he advocate doing everything in Birkenstocks?
I don't know. I just,
like, do you have to work out in Birkenstocks?
This is the only time I met him. So we cruise in, and then he announces that he's measured, and the new material for the Birkenstock soles is 12% thicker, which I thought was fantastic. And then he's like, okay. He's like, I did not fit you to these. And he's like, sit down. So he has me, I think he might be into feet. I think that was
you think?
Feet. Yeah. So I sat down. I sat down and he's like, you clearly have not been fit for these by me. And so then here's what he did. I sat down and he's like, okay, put your foot, slide your foot in. And I slid my foot into the.
Like in one of those regular stride right.
Yeah, like one of those.
Measuring
one of those. No. Like he's sitting on. That's like the stool with like the little angled thing under stool.
Yeah.
You put your foot on. So I do that. Put my foot on, and then he's like, "Okay, slide in." He's like, "Stop!" Like right. That's the perfect position for my foot. And then he's like, "Ignore your foot." And I'm like, "Okay." And then he does the buckle one slot tighter, and then he's like, There you are. And then he did the, so that was like his magic. His magic of him is that he's able to do the buckle one more buckle tighter than it was.
And after that, does he make the move of the Vegas dealer changing?
Yes, pretty much. And then he did the other foot. It's the same thing. Ignore your foot. And then he slid the buckle one hole tighter.
This is like when Cable Guy's trying to find the sweet spot.
Yes.
He's feeling the wall.
He takes his work very seriously. And then he's like, do not ever, ever, ever say that you have flat feet again. You do not. He's like really serious. He's like, if you had flat feet, you would walk with a cane. I don't know, Ed. I just look at the bottom of my foot.
Is this guy morphing into Chun from Remo Williams? Because the way you describe it, Asian, by the way.
I look down, and my foot looks pretty flat. I don't have much of an arch in my foot, but according to this guy. Anyway, people were worried.
How does the new sole feel?
Feels great. Feels fantastic. And then somebody announced a lot of people. I made an Instagram because I knew everybody was waiting on with bated breath to find out what was going on with my Birkenstocks. So, of course, I made an Instagram to let everybody know. And then, you know, people were doing what they do, which is make fun of me. But then somebody's really going off that I'm a real pussy because I have socks, like either wear socks or don't wear socks. And I'm like, I'm not wearing socks. I was real annoyed. Like normally I don't respond, but I had to respond because I was just annoyed. I'm like, I'm not wearing fucking socks. And he's like, oh, the Birkenstock must have integrated socks. Like he saw some shadow on my foot and had to really have a go at me about having like hidden socks or something. I didn't have socks on. There's no socks. There's no integrated sock. Let's just let this sit. Okay.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah. Does it look like I'm wearing a sock?
No.
How about those sweatpants? You like those?
Those are pretty dope.
Yeah. It's dad style. Elastic bottom sweatpants.
Your dad game is out of control.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
I haven't had a elastic bottom sweats.
Oh, you should get some.
Has to be 25 years.
I also have another pair. They're not, I guess they're also sort of elastic bottom, but they're like the wide cuff elastic bottom ones.
What does that mean?
Well, like it's not like, it's like a wider piece of elastic and not like so springy.
Okay.
I don't know. Oh, you know what I'll do, Ed?
Yeah.
Next time I wear those, I'll make an Instagram and I'll be like, Ed Daly, these are the pants I was talking about. I love a comfy pair of sweats. I wear a tracksuit. I got tracksuits too. Another thing.
Tracksuits are pretty sweet.
You know when I wear sweats, Ed, often?
When?
When I fly. When I'm on
you go, you're one of these guys. Please tell me you're not taking off all your shit.
I mean, what do you mean taking off my shit? Like my
I fucking hate those monsters. Oh, let me take off my smelly shoes.
Well, I mean,
you're a fucking monster.
If it's a long flight, I'm probably wearing flip flops.
So you're making somebody stare at your fucking feet the whole time.
I'm not making anybody do anything. I'm just sitting there in my sweats.
You're a monster.
Relaxing, putting the seat back, reclining the seat, getting comfy.
I've had a 24-hour flight. Those fucking shoes stayed on
the whole. That's not good for you, Ed. You get blood clots. You got to get up and move around.
I would rather have a blood clot than expose my feet and be a monster like the rest of you. I'm a man of principle.
Well, speaking of people that were on flights, United Airlines. Was United Airlines the same one that fucked over that little girl that wore leggings?
Yeah.
Speaking of people that like to be comfortable on planes, me and that little girl. This United Airlines apparently goes a long distance for people that are flying on their buddy passes unless they're a 10-year-old girl with leggings on. Because how about that guy that got forcibly ripped off a fucking plane?
Yeah. Well,
what am I supposed to do with that information? Like what is this the world that we live in where corporations can take your fucking money and then fuck you in the ass in front of every other one of their customers?
I just saw the headline right before we started. The flight wasn't actually full.
I think this United Airlines has enlisted a crisis communications firm as corporations are wont to do. And now they're trying to make a lot of news to sort of muddy the waters.
Now, I saw that there's already been some hatchet pieces on this guy, and which is distracting from the real issue.
That's right.
I mean, fuck corporations. Like, I read that the four major U.S. airlines are just raking in unprecedented dough.
Yeah.
These airlines are making more money than ever.
Remember when they jacked up flight prices because gas was so expensive?
Yeah.
Gas isn't like expensive
less than
anymore.
Less than half of what those jacked up – they're making so much goddamn money. So they can go fuck themselves.
Yes.
And the fact that they booked this guy, all of this, they should be punished, all of that. I get it.
Yeah.
But this fucking guy.
Yeah.
He was asked to leave his seat. I could see putting up a stink, but now you've got marshals, police, law enforcement telling you to get up. And he screams, "Just kill me," and then makes the weirdest scream that I've ever heard a man scream.
It was unfortunate. Like, it's not – definitely not how I would comport myself in a similar situation.
And also, buddy, keep that shirt nice and low. That wasn't a good look going out.
Hey, this guy – we don't know what this guy's been through, Ed. This guy could have been – survived the killing fields of Pol Pot.
Now we're making some generalizations.
I don't know. I don't know what's happened to this
guy. Isn't he Korean? He's not Cambodian.
I don't know what he is. I don't know. That's not important. The important thing is that he fucking went
just
online.
Because of the way he looks, you just put him in the killing field.
He went on. I'm just as an example. As an example,
he's screaming, "Diddy Mao."
He could have survived. He could have survived the Holocaust. We don't know. Haiti.
I get
Papa
it. We don't know what people are up to. But yeah,
you never know.
Papa Doc or Baby Doc.
Baby Doc, whichever, either.
But here's the problem.
What's
the, Mugabe? Why did he scream, "Just kill me"?
I don't know.
That seems like a bit much.
He
was on a $700 flight and he screamed, "Just kill me."
Maybe he had PTSD.
And then when they tried to comply, now he's getting a lot of fanfare. I want United to get fucked in every way they can.
Yes.
But this guy is odd. There's something going on with this guy.
I agree with that. But you're shaming. You're doing the work of the United Airlines crisis communications firm.
He said,
Ed,
"Just kill me." That seems like an odd reaction.
Why don't you list this rap sheet for the listeners?
Remember when the Trump grabbed the pussy comment, and I was saying, "Yes, it's not good and everything."
Yeah.
But why would you talk that way? There's a weird way some of these people are talking. I would like to examine why he said, "Just kill me."
No, it is weird. It is weird. But you're muddying the waters here.
The corporation is a fucking group of assholes making tons of money.
Yes.
So they can all go fuck themselves.
Yes.
And that's the hub is right here. Like I deal with Newark Airport is tons of United flights. I'm flying United most of the time I fly. So fuck them.
Yeah,
and I want them to get hurt in every way. I don't own their stock, so they can their stock share prices.
Their stock's taking a shit. Let's hope it continues to take a shit.
And their CEO couldn't have handled it worse.
Idiot.
Like, he was day two. He's issuing his like fourth statement, and now it's starting to come around. It's like, my God, how did you get to this point?
Ed, he was PR Week's Communicator of the Year last year.
That's
the amazing. Best. It's the best.
But yeah, I'm not trying to blame. I'd like to get a better explanation.
He doesn't
of why
owe you, Ed. He does not owe you an explanation. You
just kill me. What was that noise? That was not a noise that you've ever heard a man say.
It was odd. I agree. Here's the answer though. So apparently they needed to, this airline, and everybody knows the details, this airline needed to get a flight crew to another airport. This happens. Flights are overbooked. It's bullshit. Flights are overbooked. But the fact is that every single passenger on that plane had a number, a dollar figure.
Everyone's got a number.
For which they were willing to give up their seat. And when you are in a situation where you need someone to accommodate you, the way you get them to do that is by offering an incentive. And these fucking assholes, United Airlines, were like, fuck it. We went to $800. Fuck everybody on this plane. We're going to ruin everybody's day. And we're going to get the fucking cops to come start grabbing people out of their seat. Because $800 is the amount of dollars we are willing to pay to or lose to allow our flight crew on this plane. Now, if they'd gone up to $1,000, I bet a lot of people in that plane would go, oh, yeah, I could leave tomorrow at 3. My plans aren't that important. $1,200.
Chances are there aren't that many people that have to be on that flight. Sometimes it happens.
Yeah.
You'll miss a connecting flight. There's other things. You're going to miss a wedding, but not everyone flying.
I do. I was listening to Adam Carolla today, and he could not. He surrounds himself with sycophants, so no one would argue this point with him.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm a fan of his. I think he's a genius. But
I think it's hilarious, but I think he now believes every single thing he says is
yes. Right. His point was, you can call it that, was that because flights are so cheap, this should be expected. You should be expected to have to give up something that you paid for because you paid so little for it. And the thing is, flights are not cheap. Flights are not cheap, and that is not the way commerce works. These fucking airlines are making record profits. They are fleecing you every
like over 20 billion last year.
If you want a sandwich, you got to give them 12 fucking bucks for that shitty sandwich that was free 2 years ago. If you want to bring luggage, you have to give them extra money. Fuck the airlines. They're fucking ripping you off every chance they get. I pay for a seat. I'm going to fucking sit in the seat. Suck my dick, United.
Yeah, I didn't do the research like over the years.
Clearly.
But didn't you feel like 10 years ago, like everybody's like, these airlines, like they are barely keeping it together. Yes. They can't afford shit. And
after
it's like
9/11.
Yeah, and now you're reading like $20 billion in profits. It's like, are you fucking kidding me? If they offered $10,000, it wouldn't even like mess with any spreadsheets. If
airlines,
they
just
said, hey, yes. $10,000 for someone to get off this plane right now.
Airlines are gobbling up other airlines, and it's I go to Oakland a few times a year. It's a fucking 50-minute flight, and it costs me $200 every single time. That flight should be $110.
Right.
I'm getting my fucking dick chewed every time I get on the goddamn plane.
Those European flights have just gotten ridiculous.
Yes, I got to go to I want to go to Asia again this summer.
Yeah.
Indonesia. The flights are twice.
It's not going to be cheap.
The flights are twice what they were last summer. Two times. 100%. Take the price of the flight last year, add that price again, that's how much it costs this time. Fuck the airlines. Fuck this. What happened to freedom? This is fucking America. What happened to America? The idea of America is being lost because we're giving it away. We're giving it away to whoever's got the most money. Fuck you.
Yeah, they should have like a what do you call it? The auctioneer.
Yes.
Get on the flight and be like, all right, do I hear 800?
Yes.
All right, 850. Who wants it?
You,
like one of those moves.
You want some seats back. You need to do what we did to get the fucking seat from you. Buy it, dickhead. One thing I will say, somebody tweeted me, Devil's Accomplice tweeted me today something to the effect of, look at it this way. At least the airline saved that guy from having to be in Kentucky.
My brother-in-law is a lawyer, and he had to try a case in Frankfurt. And he was struggling with that location.
Yeah.
He was like, this is the state capital. I don't know what's going on here.
That seems like an airport doesn't go to it. That seems like you have taken an airport to like a marginally larger place and then drive a long ways to get to Frankfurt. And I can only imagine what that's like.
So fuck United, but why just kill me? I just want to put that out there. Hopefully somebody has an answer.
It was definitely not.
Who's not?
I would have comported myself in that same situation. I don't know this guy's history. You know, maybe he's jailed alongside Nelson Mandela.
I'm taking his side over United.
Are you?
A million times out of a million.
Are you?
But after he gets the big settlement, I would like a press conference. Like, so what? Why just kill me?
See, I don't surround myself with sycophants. I have shithead co-hosts that drive me crazy and victim blame. How dare you?
Fuck United.
Yes. Okay. Good. That's better. Okay. Ed, Kyle and Scott. Do you have anything else?
You just said the magic three words. Yes. Kyle and Scani. Let's go.
Kyle and Scani has reached out second week in a row. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey guys, what's going on? Kyle and Scani here. Hey, Brian, can you shorten up the ringtones or the rings on the Google message? I wait 45 seconds to leave a message. That's too long.
I don't think I can do that.
But you guys are talking about killing trees, which I'm not proactive for killing trees.
Ed, he's not proactive for killing trees, but he's going to tell us how to do it. Ready?
Okay.
Yeah.
But it isn't hard to do. It's a herbicide. You just go get it at your local co-op, farmers co-op, wherever they sell stuff. For woody stem stuff, $19 a quart, no big deal. You act like killing trees was rocket science, but no, it's simple stuff. But nope, keep it real, guys. Later.
Wow,
I love that. I love that he knows how to kill trees.
I do too, but I also like that he's like, it's simple stuff, and then the whole rest of the jargon afterwards sounded like it was in another language because I didn't understand any of it. Herbicide.
I got herbicide.
Herbicide. I mean, I can sort of figure out what that is. Herbicide. Farmers co-op. Measuring things in quarts. Like what?
Yeah. I didn't do any of that. I imagine like they need a tree dead. In the Wisconsin or just Midwest.
Yes.
They call in Kyle. And then I could see him poisoning the tree and then turning and walking away in slow motion as the tree crumbles. Like in the movies.
Yes.
Stand, and then just
he pulls up on his snowmobile, he poisons the tree, he turns around, and as he's walking away, you just see his back, his kind of like, I picture him having kind of like shaggy hair. And you just see his back, cigarette in one hand, tall boy, a Pabst Blue Ribbon in the other, and he's just taking a pull off his Pabst Blue Ribbon as he walks away.
Kyle, it dies.
Tree killer. Okay. Thanks for that, Kyle. You're the best.
You are the best.
He's the best. Here, Ed, one email.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. Is there a more embarrassing way to die than the way David Carradine went out? Thanks. I'll take your answer off the air. Drew in West LA. Drew, what is that apropos of?
Well, also, Hutchins died the same way, right?
Yes, and he's much younger.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, like, what is more – that's pretty tough because there are going to be some tough conversations at the funeral.
Yeah.
Like, loved ones, you have any children. It's going to be tough, like, a lot of milling around, like, so, this is a tough one. I thought, you know, the worst way I'd like to go is every once in a while, I'll have my phone on shuffle and there'll be a song and I'm like, man, if I fucking die to Kenny Loggins right now, this is going to be a fucking problem.
This happens to me. There's songs show up on my phone that I did not download. They'll be like in Spanish or it'll be like some like classic rock bullshit that I never liked. And I'm like, where did this come from?
There are a couple songs that pop up that I don't know where they come from. I enjoy the hell out of Danny's song, but I can't say I want to listen to it more than like once a year.
Yeah.
But it'll pop up and I'll be like, oh fuck, if I get hit by a car and they're like, well, what was he doing last? And it's like, Kenny Loggins. Yeah. Like, if it's Tupac, fine. I got, like, 300 songs on there. But it's going to be a problem if I lose diet.
Kenny Loggins, I saw last summer, a buddy of mine posted on Facebook that Kenny Loggins showed up and sat in with a local band here in Laguna Beach.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if he hadn't been singing and I didn't have, like, some sort of DNA sample, fingerprint, some type of quiz, like, if he could tell me Jim Messina's first wife's name or something,
Just the first name of Jim Messina.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't even know it was Jim. I thought it was just Messina.
Who are you in a band with? Because I'll tell you what, Ed. This guy has had so much work done to his face. He does not look like the same person. I mean, he's still got the beard. He's still going with the traditional Kenny Loggins look.
But that's the problem. If he wants to shave, he's kind of fucked.
No, he can't. You can never shave.
He's married to that beard.
Yes. He's integrated with that look.
Like, had to ride that thing to the end.
Totally. Totally agree. Yes, I don't know. I don't know what that, Dave, that would be very embarrassing to die choking yourself while masturbating. Also, I've always been pretty satisfied with the regular method of masturbation. I never thought, how can I ramp things up a bit? Like, what's the next level for this? Because that's just sex, right? Jerking it is just the next best thing. It's just because at that moment you would like to be having sex with someone and you can't be. So you're just, but you still need to relieve the pressure because that shit backs up.
You got to get the poison out.
That pressure builds and it clouds your judgment. It backs up. The fluids back up into your brain and make you not think straight. So you got to get it out and get on with your life. And I just always thought like the regular method has just worked fine for me.
Yeah, and you could try to change the subject in your mind, but it just comes right back like 30 seconds later.
You got
to
get it out.
Yeah.
Okay, Ed, what is – speaking of getting it out, also, I was on that podcast, The Unfiltered Gentleman, and I came in and did my segment, and I listened back today to see how it went. I thought it went great. And then they're like, hey, all right, goodbye, Brian. And I'm like, okay, cool, thanks for having me on. And then they're like – as soon as I hung up, they're like, all right, we had to – dude, we couldn't move. We had to get rid of Brian because we know he wouldn't want to be talking about this. And then they started talking about wrestling, which I would have loved to be talking about. I would have enjoyed that greatly.
I'm guessing you would have had a different approach.
Probably.
People would follow the sport, but
I'm not so up with anybody that's been in the wrestling game since 1985 or so. But I would have jumped in. I would have like dropped some comments.
Junkyard Dog still wrestling?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's still around. Him, good. Davey Boy Smith, Rick Rude,
Bruce the Barber Beefcake.
He's out there. Yeah, he's doing his thing. Yeah. King Kong Bundy. They're all still working.
Yeah, Dusty Rhodes.
Has somebody that is also still working? Ric Flair. Rick R.I.C. Flair.
Yes. Yes.
See, when I was into wrestling, he wasn't in the big promotion. I know he's like a legend, one of the greats.
Wasn't he on the wrestling that was like on TBS?
Kind. Yeah, like the one that was in the South or something. I didn't know. Yeah. That wasn't like my.
You wasn't know, your bailiwick?
No, whatever that means. No.
Well, professional wrestler Ric Flair entered a Fort Wayne, Indiana bar this past weekend. And started acting like an asshole, then was kicked out after 5 minutes. Apparently, the final straw was when he called the bartender a fat ass who should lose some weight.
Well,
as he was being booted, Flair shouted, "You don't know who I am, and I'll have you out of a job." Now, Brian, my question is this. Is there anything sadder than an old queen?
No, it's really. Did he roll in? I know he used to wear like fur and like feathered capes. Is that?
I just remember he had like some severely dyed hair, right?
Yeah, I think he still has that. I think I saw him recently because NFL teams, I think the Carolina Panthers like bring him in to like get the guys pumped up before a game. And I think I did see that. And he's still got the, I mean, the guy's got to be pushing 70 at this point, and he's still got the bright white peroxide hair. So he's pretty recognizable.
The only time you should ever say the phrase, "Do you know who I am?" or "Don't you know who I am?" is when like you're in the presence of a loved one and they don't know who you are. But beyond that, never utter that phrase. You're a fucking idiot. Like if somebody's had a head injury and you're like, "Don't you know who I am?" like then you pull it out. Like you don't just say that. Like, nobody gives a shit who you are. You're a fucking asshole with dyed hair.
like if Gran is in the throes of dementia and the last legs, and you've gone and visited her a couple times, and she's like, "Hey, Eddie, how you doing?" And then you go in a third time, and she's like, "Who the fuck are you?" Then it's totally permissible to go, "Don't you know who I am, Grandma?"
You don't say I mean, I don't care if you're the biggest deal on earth. You're fucking Brad Pitt. You're whoever you are. You don't say, "Don't you know who I am?" Who the fuck are you? You're nobody to the person who's kicking you out of this bar. That's who you are.
And Ric Flair at a bar in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I mean, off the board. Like, just anytime he's not at a bar in Fort Wayne, Indiana, somebody let me know, because that's where I picture him all the time.
And I Googled him because I was like,
"Oh no,
what is with that RIC?" And his real name is Richard. So it's not like, you know, he's from some European country and it's Ricard. And then you're like, all right, well, he was shortening it to Rick. No, it was Richard. And he just made it R-I-C.
My dad's name is Richard. And he's Rick, R-I-C-K, because he's hashtag hetero.
Because he's from Earth.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, totally what is that?
R-I-C.
R-I-C. Get the fuck out of here. That's who you are.
If you're Ricardo, you're R-I-C, Rick.
You should have checked ID, and if you saw that, you'd be like, "That's why you're getting kicked out of the bar, buddy." Yeah, RIC, get out of here.
Okay, what else?
All right, let's move to college football. Texas A&M, Texas arson and murder. A&M wide receiver Kirk Merritt is pleading not guilty to indecent exposure charges stemming from incidents in October 2016, where he was accused of exposing himself to two female tutors. According to the Houston Chronicle, one woman claimed Merritt exposed and touched himself while sitting in arm's reach of her. Another tutor came forward and said Merritt did something similar to her, where he pulled down his shorts and held himself while close by.
Oh, no.
But, Brian, you'll be happy to know he gave a completely valid excuse for the incident. According to Rick Davis, Merritt's attorney, the wide receiver had, quote, a bad case of jock itch. Now, Brian, why were these hurtful tutors so disrespectful towards this medical condition?
It's weird that it just happened to be two female tutors.
It could have been anyone. Coach. Head coach.
Kevin
Sumlin probably was subjected to that treatment.
I mean, I don't know that I've ever had jock itch. It's like it's basically athlete's foot, but it's on your fucking balls. And I don't like, if I had it, I would want it off there really quick. Although I don't know that I would like have to show. I don't know that I'd have to like be in the middle of Vaughn's like scratching my balls and have my dick out. I feel like I could avoid that.
Yeah, call me old-fashioned, but I'd probably call an end to the tutoring session before I took care of business.
Yeah, just like, excuse myself.
I'm sorry. I'm just not feeling up to it today. Can we reschedule this? Pull them out.
Just think of everybody on the campus down there in College Station.
Yeah.
That's encountered this guy and like slapped high fives with him. Shook his hand, like did it, like what do you call that when you do like a pound? Dap? Is that a name for something? No.
Sure.
Just any like hand touching with this guy. This guy
essentially giving him a hand job.
Yeah, this guy has shown that he loves to have his hands all over his dick and balls all the time, and then he's shaking your hand. Think about that for a second. Now, Texas A&M, Ed, you probably might not be aware of this. We have a tremendous listenership of Texas A&M alums. We're very popular with the College Station crowd. My question to them is this. It's like a military school, but it's not, you're not like affiliated with the military or what? Cause I've seen.
Yeah. It's not like the Citadel where it's like even sort of like it's just a lot of people. Like they're just a big ROTC school.
They have military haircuts and they wear military uniforms. And according to my friend, Travis Rogers, they do finger guns to each other. Pew, pew. But I don't know, but they're not actually affiliated with the military, or are they? I don't know.
The arson and murder reference was to the old R.C. Slocum days. They were running a little bit rogue. I really like Kevin Sumlin.
Me too.
That guy, I don't know. I think they don't like him though. Like I think he's on the hot seat, but they're actually fun to watch.
Yeah, they're fun to watch. They play defense. They can score. They're in the SEC. So like every team in the SEC is pretty much a bad guy. So you got to find like a couple that you can root for. And I would put Texas A&M in that category for sure.
Sure.
Okay. What else?
Let's go to hockey. Billionaire Edmonton Oilers owner Daryl Katz has been accused by a Brazilian model and an actress on the TV show Jane the Virgin, Grace Santo, of offering them millions for sex. Santo said she first met Katz in November 2015 in Hawaii while she was there for a photo shoot for Viva Glam, a magazine which the lawsuit calls a front for Katz to procure beautiful women for his own personal pleasure.
Wow.
While she was in Hawaii, Katz's cousin, blah, 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 blah. Right. But he, when asked what she would have to do in return, he said, "I'm looking for companionship and sex." After she turned him down, he continued to pursue her. Now the story is coming out in a lawsuit that's against his lawyer for something unrelated. Now, Brian, what's the saddest part about this hockey owner? His rap with women or the fact that his hairstyle best resembles Alice from the Brady Bunch?
Yeah, I could barely pay attention to what you're saying, Ed, because I am mesmerized by this guy's wig.
It's terrible.
Someone has allowed him to think that this wig that he pulls down over
Phil Spector,
what's left of his other hair, looks real. And I don't know what the guy looks like without this wig on, but it would be an improvement for sure. Also, the oil are kind of good. The oil made the playoffs. They got that Connor McDavid. Like, the oil are on the come.
Oh, I had no idea. Does Wayne Gretzky still play for them?
No, but he doesn't own them. This guy, this Katz guy, who's a Canadian billionaire. How do you make him? How many Canadian billionaires are there? A couple? Two or three? I guess.
What, oil, the guy who runs the Tim Hortons?
Right, to the Tim Hortons fortune. Wheat. There's got to be somebody that's cracked nine figures in wheat, right? They grow a lot of it.
Probably. I assume they have the same owner, the CFL teams, the owner of the Rough Riders and the Rough Riders.
Yeah. Right? You know, well,
I assume it's the same owner, right?
I don't want to break this to you, but we're down to only one Rough Riders. Also, they had eight teams. Two were the Rough Riders, and one was Rough Riders, all one word, and one was two words, Rough Riders.
That's right.
Saskatchewan and Calgary, Ottawa. I think. Ottawa. Yeah. That's right. Nah. I'm looking at the story and I need to see. I haven't seen the chick. Hold on. What's her name? Brazilian model, Greasy Santo. Well, that's an interesting name. Let's hold on. I'm just going to Google her and see if that pussy is worth millions of dollars.
He's a fucking billionaire.
Yeah, he's rich.
Like, way before The Apprentice. And I think universally, I don't think anyone would think Trump is a good looking dude. Way before The Apprentice, he was just rifling through models. Like, yeah, if you have money,
you don't have to pay
money
for it.
Like, you don't have what? He's chasing around some random actress that doesn't want him.
She's pretty hot. She's very Latin looking. Like,
I'm a fan.
Very fit. Yeah.
But there's a million of her.
Also, when you Google her, Google images, one of the suggestions is Axl Rose. Did Axl Rose slam her? Like, he's hideous.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about work done. That guy looks very hot.
God, what's going on with the hair? This chick's super hot, but I don't see some guys get off on paying. And I would wager a guess that a guy with that actively engages the public in that level of hair system, he's the kind of guy that likes to pay for pussy. Like, that's his thing. He's like, his whole thing is, I'm rich and I'm paying for it. And here, have $1 million because I'm so fucking, I got rich on wheat. Canadian wheat.
Wheat.
Or oil. Either. Okay, what else, Ed?
All right, after son Lonzo's UCLA team lost in the Sweet 16, sports dad LeVar Ball spoke to the Orange County Register. Realistically.
That's my local paper.
Does it? I really don't know of this paper. Is it a real paper, or is it like very local?
No, it's Orange. There's a few million people in Orange County.
Right, but wouldn't they just get the LA?
They don't like that. No, because we're our own metropolitan area, Ed. The Orange County Register. Oh, so
to you guys, you're a real thing. You're not part of LA.
I prefer the LA Times. The Orange County Register tends to have, the editorial page of the Orange County Register tends to have a bit of a conservative bent.
Mm.
Continue. Yeah, this my local paper said what?
realistically, you can't win no championship with three white guys because the foot speed is too slow. I told Lonzo, one of these games you might need to go for 30 or 40 points.
Yeah.
It turned out that was the one game. Then once they get to the Elite Eight, they're right there. Brian, I guess the question needs to be asked. Are sports parents giving interviews the worst or the absolute worst?
Yeah, it's pretty. We're living in LeVar Ball's time. Like, why do people keep putting microphones in front of this guy? Although, Ed.
Yeah.
I mean, he sort of does have a point. It is
a little jarring when you see that, like, a higher percentage of white guys than black guys on a basketball team. However, how can Lonzo went for 10 in that game.
He had a bad game, and he got his lunch eaten by De'Aaron, Aaron Fox.
I would love if the Knicks got him. I'm not saying that he's a shitty player.
Right.
But, like, I do, like you said, why they keep putting microphones. Like, it's a very lazy crutch of shitty sports writers to put the microphone into the parents, the loudmouth parents. I remember Vince Carter's mom, RG3's dad, LeVar Ball, like, there's these parents that just want to mouth off. Like, they're fucking not. They're not valid. Like, they're very biased.
It's like if you have a job, Ed. When you were stacking chips, selling bonds, and your boss was like, "Hey, Ed, can you come in my office real quick?" And you come in there, and he's like, "Look, can you write down your dad's phone number, Ed Senior? I gotta give him a call, talk about a few things, like." You're not a minor. You're an adult. You're an adult thing on an adult stage. You're on TV playing basketball. I don't give a fuck what his dad's got to say. His dad is not hooping. His dad played one season at Washington State, averaged 2 points.
And he can only hurt the situation because what's going to happen when chances are Lonzo Ball, like, maybe he turns it around in year one, but chances are he's going to play on a shitty team with like half the team stinks. Yeah. Whether it's the Lakers, the Knicks, or one of these shitty teams. And what is dad going to do? He's going to mouth off about how shitty this guy's teammates are. And, like, I don't know Lonzo Ball, but every interview, he doesn't seem like his dad. But he's going to take a lot of shit because his dad won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, he's going to talk a bunch of shit.
No.
Hopefully he's on the Lakers, though. The kid has amazing court vision.
Like, yeah.
He's really
– I'm open for the Knicks. Just keep winning, Lakers.
He's one of those guys where it's like the game seems like a little bit slower for him. Like, he can just see everything that's happening, and he always seems to know to get the ball to the right guy. The problem is a little too unselfish because he can get to the rack.
Right.
He looks to pass every time.
That, I mean, like, I don't, obviously it's a tough comparison, but like that's a very Jason Kidd like thing. Like he's an actual point guard who's making everybody around him better. Like, he is a superstar. I mean, UCLA, whether or not they had a bunch of good freshmen, a bunch of good players, like, they missed the tournament the previous year.
Yeah,
and they were top 10 all year. He's a fucking superstar.
No, he's a stud. He's going to be a stud.
But his dad's a real fuck up.
Speaking of studs, Ed.
Yeah.
We give a lot of advice on this show, and one thing I always advise is that people never, ever, ever discuss their number with their partner.
Right.
It's a no win situation. Like, her number will never, ever be low enough for you to feel comfortable unless it's zero.
The Chris Rock line, 2. Yeah. I guess that's how you were raised.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And if by chance her number is higher than your number, you probably want to kill yourself for the rest of your life. So just don't, just like, who cares? Like, everybody has a past. Like, let it go.
You weren't there first.
Yeah, just don't. And you don't want to be there first. Like, you got.
And if you were there first, it was probably terrible.
Yes, exactly. You got to let them go out. They got to learn what they like, learn the good from bad, and then you swoop in there when they've worked all that out. But Ed, amongst friends, when you're with the guys, it's a different story. Yeah. Guys can freely compare stats, but we all know at least one guy, that one Lothario dirtbag of the group that stacked a disproportionate amount of chips, Ed.
Mm-hmm.
That one dude who straight up crushes it. Every group has one.
Yep.
Of course, I'm talking about that triple digit bro.
Woof.
Ed, Andrew Wardle is one of these.
Sounds like a guy.
Yeah, he's a three hasher, Ed. He's the dude whose conquests cannot be quantified on the tens timetable. Andrew Wardle has pumped more than 100 women.
Oh my goodness. Andy.
What a star. Good for you, Andy. Ed, this is a high degree of difficulty accomplishment, especially when you consider the obstacles A-Wards has had to come. You see, Ed, Wardle was born with an extremely rare 1 in 20 million condition.
Oh, super huge dick, right?
Bladder extrophy. Extrophy.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
His bladder, in other words, was outside of his body at birth. And he's undergone hundreds of operations since. Wow. Just a quick update. You want to keep all your organs, or all the ones that are supposed to be right inside of the body, you want to keep them inside the body. You don't want any organs to be outside of you. The condition has severe, except for your skin.
This guy must have some game, because you got the billionaire owner of the Oilers.
He's offering cash. He can't.
He's offering cash. This guy's got a bladder outside his body, and
I would argue that wig is a bigger hindrance than the bladder's under your clothes.
The bladder's better looking than that wig.
That wig's right out there. The condition has severely affected the Manchester native's physical health. He's a mank, Ed, including damage to his kidneys after numerous infections. Oof. But it's also critically harmed his mental health, mainly because the condition caused him to be born without a penis.
Oh.
In a TLC documentary following his struggle called Man with No Penis. That's just insult to injury. They could have given it a different name, Ed. Wardle explained how he managed. I knew my way around a woman's body. I knew my way around their mind. I was very confident in bed of what I could do to them so they wouldn't come near me, and they were finished and I was fine.
Is this a hybrid between Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins and Ted Kennedy?
I thought there was a little Chappaquiddick coming out at the end.
Era.
I have no penis, era. The Daily Mail reported that Wardle's hesitation to sleep with women right away made him even more attractive to some. However, there's a sweet spot. You want to act like you don't want to fuck them right away, but you also don't want to wait too long, guys. Just a little advice for me. Act like it's no big deal. And they'll come ask for it. Trust me.
That's a tough thing to do.
He told the UK's Good Morning hosts that his high number of sexual partners wasn't because he was any sort of womanizer. Rather, he felt he couldn't keep his secret if he saw women more than a few times. Ed, what is more impressive? That this dude slayed a C-note of broads without a penis? Or the fact that he did it with a man bun.
Oh no! Let me see.
Did you see the picture? Yeah. He's got that.
Yes, he's got the man. He looks like every turd you want to punch in a bar.
He's got like the shaved sides with it like tied up.
Oh, yeah. Not good.
Yeah,
not good. What? So, what was he doing? Was he doing the finger and like pretending something was going on?
I think he was pleasing them in a way that didn't. Like, so they've kind
digital.
Of. Yeah, digital.
Like, does your penis have a knuckle?
Does that count as sex? I don't think counts as sex.
It counts.
Does your penis have a knuckle? I don't think.
I don't remember having any guys with fingernails on their penis.
I don't think digital penetration. That's
It counts. When you say that out of context, it could sound really bad. It counts in the sense of an attack of some sort.
Yeah, right. Yes.
But it's foreplay in a
right. It could be. Yes. If it's unwanted, then it counts. Yes, I agree.
It doesn't count. Like, yeah, it's, you know,
yeah,
it's an activity for sophomores in high school.
Yeah. Is it second base? I don't know the bases.
I think that's third.
It's third. And then
kissing is first.
One. Titties. Under the shirt.
Titties. You seem like you're going, like you're in a pretty, you know, if that's a single and double, and all of a sudden third, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big leap between second and third.
Yeah. I go, but there's nothing else in between. These days, kids go straight to anal.
Yeah.
That's like the infield the fly. Slam. Yeah.
That's an infield fly.
It's just assumed. Yeah. It's just, okay, here we go.
Reverse cowgirl is a sacrifice bunt.
Ed, first of all, how fucking old is this guy? I thought he was dead. Pat Robertson?
Wish he was dead.
Yeah. He's 87. And he's concerned that he's being dominated by homosexuals. The TV, he's really, really worried that they're controlling his happiness in some way. The TV preacher simply loves putting his overactive imagination to use, talking about gay people, whether he's complaining how they are all going to be, quote, thrusting at him, or getting upset with gays getting, quote, drunk with the wine of fornication. In his latest non sequitur about homosexuality this week, Mr. Robertson revealed that he spends a lot of time thinking about getting dominated by gay men. Also, he's looking pretty bad. He looks like some sort of Star Wars villain.
Yes.
Or he does. From another planet.
He looks like the dude who was with Billy Dee in the Millennium Falcon at the end of Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, yeah. He's got, yes, he does. Yeah. He's got, because his head is like kind of triangular with it wider at the top. And then the big ears sort of melt into the long cheeks. Taking to the airwaves, the long-serving media personality warned that gay people had, quote, dominated the media and, quote, infiltrated academia. He said, when you get down to it, Christians are still the majority in this country, but we have given ground to a small minority. You figure lesbians, 1% of the population, homosexuals, 2% of the population, that's all. That's statistically all. But they have dominated the media. They've dominated the cultural shift, and they have infiltrated the major universities. It's just unbelievable what's being done. Ed, this guy has an issue, obviously.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, on a scale of Mike Pence to Marcus Bachmann, how deeply is Pat Robertson suppressing his homosexual desires?
He's almost full Marcus at this point. And your reading of his quotes, if you've heard him speak, because Stern has played him every once in a while, like when he's blaming gays for 9/11 and stuff, he sounds just like each breath might be his last.
Yeah,
I've had lots of chats with God in recent months. He thinks I'd make a swell power bottom. My daddy used to drip candle wax on my testicles. Actually, I meant to say the gaze of the work of the devil. I wish anal beads came with instructions. I mean, gaze were the cause of 9/11.
I can hear. He's 700 club, right?
Yeah, he's 700 years old.
He's always bitching that the gays are like controlling the media and stuff. Like, this is not a new line for him. But the guy has his own channel. Like, he's not like
he's the chief gay of all.
Yes, like yes, he's gayer than the gays that he hates. And for infiltrating the media, the guy's 24/7 going on his own channel, and he's, you know, he's sitting at that desk, and he's got it all lit up. I think his like kids are on there with him. I'll be honest, I thought he was dead. I thought he died a long time ago.
When I was a kid, and like Sunday morning, you're flipping channels, and you're trying to find something, and I remember the titles to 700 Club. I thought it was like, you know, some sports thing, and turning on, like, what the fuck is this?
Yes, yes.
There's a guy. You know, I think I would go for a tiramisu and an anal bead right now.
Okay, Ed, let's just jump ahead. We are kind of running long here, and I want to get I want to get Fancy Sauce into the mix.
Let's do it.
We're so lucky to have her. It's so rare that we get her back to back to back.
Yeah, this is a trend.
Yeah, it's becoming a trend. Of course, I'm talking about our very own pop culture correspondent, Fancy Sauce, who joins us now. How you doing, Fancy?
I'm back.
Hey, yeah. Kate.
I've been back. Hey, Ed.
Yeah, I think you were here last week.
That's true. She's been here a couple weeks.
I've been around.
Yeah. Well,
it's nice to be here.
Yeah, it's good to see you. Good to have you.
Good to see you, too. I never see you much these days.
I know. We got to do more podcasts. Gets us together. I forgot I have one email for you.
Okay.
For us.
Okay.
I guess it's technically for me. It's from a guy named Joe, and he wants to hit this subject line is, can you teach me how to do your low voice? One of the best parts of the show is when Brian talks in his low voice. I am hashtag hetero, but if I wasn't, it would probably make me chub up a little. Kate, what does it do to your lady parts when Brian talks to you in the low voice?
Very personal question.
Do you appreciate being with a sexy beast like Brian?
I sure do.
Brian, is it possible
I'm
to teach
every day?
Brian, is it possible to teach someone how to do the low voice, or just something that you're born with? Asking for a friend. Well, that's a fantastic email.
It is a good email, and I agree. Yeah. It is a great part of the show.
Yeah. You have to see with the low voice.
You should do a how-to video on Patreon.
You have to find the right moment, and you have to look the person you're talking to in the eye.
Brian's looking at me very creepily now.
You speak low and slow.
This is how he wooed me, everybody.
So they know you're serious. That you're about down to get down to some Andrew Wardle style business.
I don't know what that means, but I'm terrified.
The real business.
Okay.
The real deal.
Yeah. Good for you, Joe. I appreciate that email.
The pride of Manchester.
Yes. He's a mank. Kate.
Yes.
What is going on in the world of pop culture? What is happening in fancy pop?
Before I get into the news.
Yeah, the news. The real
world
news.
Yep. I have a Patreon shout out.
Yes.
New hero. Hero of the week, Chuck Spear.
Chuck, you're a hero.
Latest addition family.
Guys, patreon.com is where we do the show for free. We used to have a whiskey company that advertised, but our buddy at the whiskey company doesn't work there anymore. You figure, though, other whiskey people could still reach out, but they don't.
Sure. We did plenty for their business.
We did some commercials for a whiskey company, and it was mostly we got whiskey, but also a little bit of money, but not very much. We do this for free. We entertain you for no money, no compensation. But if you'd like to make a financial donation to the show, we will accept it. And the way to do that is to go to patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. Reach out there. Additionally, we do some bonus content that is only available to our Patreon subscribers. And I believe we're going to have something coming up. It might be up by the time you listen to this. So check patreon.com/theballerlifestyle for a special bonus content from the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Okay, Kate, good job. What else?
I'd also like to discuss quickly my paranormal activity experience last week.
Oh, my God.
Just in case
Oh, my God.
Is this like my experience in Baltimore?
No.
It's going to make me sound
cuckoo. It's much worse, yeah. I mean, you might want to think about this, Kate.
Anybody? I just want to know. What the fuck?
If anybody follows Fancy Graham at Fancy Graham on Instagram, last week she made a post questioning something that occurred in the Baller Lifestyle World headquarters. What was that exactly, Kate?
I was getting ready for work. Actually, before I was getting ready, I came down in the morning and I did my morning routine. I opened my laptop, which was sitting on the dining room table.
Yes.
Checked my email for a few minutes.
Correct.
Closed my laptop, went in the kitchen, made my coffee, did some other stuff in the kitchen. And we have like an open plan kitchen dining room. Yes. So my computer laptop is visible the whole time.
From the kitchen. Yep.
And then I went upstairs and I'm getting ready and I'm in the house by myself and I hear a very loud noise.
Crash.
Unidentifiable noise. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even really a crash. I don't know how I would explain it.
Mm. Smash.
But I froze and I was thinking, sounds like someone's in my house or something happened.
Mm.
So I...
Rape fantasy.
I'm silent for a while. I don't hear anything else. So I'm like, I tell myself that was probably just outside. So then I get, I finish getting ready. I come downstairs and my computer, which I left firmly on the dining room table.
Yes.
Is on the floor.
Dun, dun.
And no, I didn't knock it. It wasn't near the edge. Like, because as I've explained, after I used it, I spent some time in the kitchen where it was in direct view of me.
Yes.
Anyway. It was just weird.
Were there,
it was very unsettling.
Were there any tremors?
No, there's no tremors.
Were there any animals in the house?
Not that I know of.
Were
Do you have
there,
any pets?
I don't have pets.
Kate, was there maybe...
Also, the noise...
Something.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Also, the noise that I heard was not the noise of my computer falling onto a rug.
Was it separate
in my
noise?
Dining room? No.
Oh.
You're definitely certain, an unidentified
you're
noise.
You're certain there were no other factors at play? Interesting. Wow. Well.
So anyway, it freaked me out because there was no logical conclusion that I could come to.
I do occasionally see.
There was nothing plausible.
As I'm leaving for the office in the morning, I do occasionally see some trash pandas outside. Raccoons? Maybe one of them came in, was checking his email. You know how the homeless go to the library to check their email?
No, they go to masturbate. That's what they do.
Well, also that. Maybe a raccoon came in here and he's like, hey, I'm just going to log on to
Rocky64. They're probably Hotmail users.
Yeah, I would say Hotmail. Yeah, yes. On his Panda Grinder. Checking his Grinder account.
Anyway, it was very weird and very unsettling. Yes. It freaked me out. I called Brian to like alert him of what had happened because it's one of those things where you walk in the room and something is so amiss that you can't, that you're just like, oh, what the hell?
Shocking. Who knows why?
Brian was not very helpful either.
Well, I mean, it's an unexplainable phenomenon.
I don't believe in ghosts.
No.
But nobody has been able to come up with what happened.
Maybe someone's living in our attic.
We don't have an attic.
Why is it out of the question that you just put it on the corner of the table?
It just is. I didn't put it there.
Good question, Ed. No, I agree.
And if it did fall off, why did it take it 20 minutes?
Yeah. That's also, hey, that's plausible.
I don't know.
I do like that somebody said maybe a rat had come in the house and was climbing the cord of the because the
I
computer was
that,
plugged in.
The cord would come out.
Yeah,
it's
an
does.
Apple. That's right.
Anyway.
We use Apple products in this house.
All right, moving on.
Yes. After that interlude.
What
is Kate, what is going
such
on?
Such an interesting story I just told.
In the world of pop culture. What is happening in Fancy Pop?
Well, you guys, it's spring.
Yeah, spring is sprung.
You know what springtime means.
I get sprung.
Allergies.
Yeah, seasonal allergies.
It means a new Fast and the Furious movie.
Woo!
Speeding into theaters.
F8.
Is that a thing that they do it every spring?
I think so, yeah.
We might have to try to go see it Sunday night. Sunday afternoon.
Excited.
Is there really one out already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Which is, this one is getting terrible reviews, which is
did they
shocking
ever get good
to me.
Reviews?
But which is shocking to me because I clearly saw in the trailer that the Fast gang is in their cars on an iceberg being chased by a submarine. So I don't know how.
Right.
Like what's the,
what would be bad about
how
that?
Did they, wow.
Do they CGI Paul Walker in it or did they just say,
no, they've let him go.
I think he's moved on, but Vin Diesel, Dom.
We'll definitely be going to check this out.
He's gone rogue.
There is a new character, Charlize Theron's cornrowed villainess hacker. Yeah. doesn't seem to be impressing the critics, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah. IndieWire's David Elrich writes that Theron's performance is confined to cutaway shots where she says things like, get ready for this, before hitting a button that triggers some bad special effects halfway around the world.
Well, in her defense, when you're going toe-to-toe with heavyweights like Jordana Brewster, Michelle Rodriguez, the Juilliard train.
You might not shine as brightly.
Did you guys see the Michelle Rodriguez movie where she plays the tough girl?
Yes, I love that one.
But
she's not going to let you through her exterior.
Yes. What's the the beef between Vin and The Rock.
Plot line is happening off screen. There's a feud between Vin Diesel and
they hate each other.
Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
This, Kate, I believe Statham also will be appearing again in this one.
I really hope so.
And Statham, would he like?
It's all the bald tough guys in this movie.
If you were in the lane, if I threw it to you in the lane, would you be able to back him down and just, or would you just turn around and shoot right over him?
Yes, I'd shoot over him.
Yes, because he's so little.
We're about the same height.
Statham
is. Have to jump a little bit.
Yeah, he's pretty tiny. Okay, well, I look forward to that. I also saw another highlight.
Isn't Vin Diesel kind of little?
Yeah, he is.
Like, The Rock would destroy him if they actually fought.
Yeah, because the Rock is legit. And everyone
he's a legit huge guy.
Yeah, everyone loves The Rock. I did see one highlight, and I don't know how this movie could be badly reviewed, because it's like the building's like blowing up, or it's like a war zone looking thing, like battle. And Michelle Rodriguez is like lying on the ground, and she's like, Dom, we know this isn't you. And then Vin Diesel turns around and starts making out with Charlize Theron. It's like, how could that be bad? How could that, this such groundbreaking cinema?
Yeah. I mean, I personally.
Cindy.
Okay. Kate, what else?
I have a Mel B update.
Oh,
Stephen Belafonte.
This is kind of a sad story.
Yeah, like it is sad. And it's kind of like spiraling out of control in the gossip rags. Yep. So you don't really know what's like true. What's, you know, I mean, everything's embellished on the internet, but it just has a very sad kind of twinge to it.
It's spousal abuse.
So Mel B has obtained a restraining order against the nanny she says was having sex with her husband, got pregnant by her husband, and is now extorting her with her husband.
Yeah.
This is the Belafonte guy?
No. So Mel B's lawyers got a court order to gain access to a storage locker rented by this nanny, Lorraine Gillies, the nanny in question. So apparently Mel B claims the locker contains sex tapes and photos Lorraine and Mel B's estranged husband, Stephen Belafonte, threatened to make public to destroy her life.
I have an inside access to this story.
Do you tell?
What do you know?
A friend of mine reached out to me after last week's show and said, I know somebody who went to high school with him. He had a different name in high school. He didn't go as the Belafonte name.
Right.
And so he's from New Jersey and said he was a psychopath in high school.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it.
See, this is that's great information. And here's, let's juxtapose Ed's life against mine. This is Ed. Ring, ring. Hello? Hey, man, it's one of your friends. I was listening to your podcast, and I want to add something to what you were saying. It was a really good show. Here, let me tell you something I know about what you're talking about. Oh, yeah, go ahead. And then here's my life. Ring, ring. Hello? Hey, man, you still like doing that podcast thing? Scene. Okay, Kate, what else is going on?
What else?
He's from Jersey, huh?
Point Pleasant, New Jersey.
Mm, the shore. Is that down the shore?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It might actually be the same town as Spitzer's Girl. Oh, I think that was the same town.
Fan.
Whew.
Ashley Dupree,
who now has a lingerie store a few blocks from my mom's house.
Yeah, I know. We got to go hang out at the – she's got a couple kids. We got to go hang out at the top by your mom.
Do a show from her lingerie store.
Been wanting to do that. Okay, what else?
I just always think about these kids that grow up and
your mom's a whore.
Be able to Google your mom's or your dad's scandalous.
We all make our choices. We all make our choices.
Well, just think of
middle school's going
to. I think about the Carradine kids having to discuss how dad died.
That's true. Yeah.
How did David Carradine die?
Same way Michael Hutchins died.
Yeah. Same way the president of Australia, Michael Hutchins, kicked off.
Mike Hutchins.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Boy, did I have a crush on him growing up.
Who didn't?
He was pretty dreamy.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is a cute story. You guys are probably big Korn fans.
Huge.
The band Korn.
Huge. Korn with a K and the
white dreads.
The R is backward. Yeah, I think the singer might have. Well, there's a few guys with dreads.
Big fans of Toys R Us with the backwards R.
Yeah, backwards R. That's how you know they're badasses.
I can segue this into a name drop story.
Oh, you know somebody from Korn?
No, I don't.
We don't play by your rules with your forward-facing letters.
I went to a Korn concert.
Oh my God, that's so
my 20s.
That is so embarrassing.
The first and last time.
Korn concert.
Well, I was invited by somebody that had a box
here
at
we
the.
Go.
What's where the ducks play?
Somebody who knows David Spade?
The pond.
The pond, yeah.
At the pond, somebody that had like a box at the, like owned a box at the pond.
Did we ever determine if David Spade was a loud comer? Or is that, you're not answering?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
And one of the other people invited was none other than Kate Hudson.
Kate Hudson.
It was before she blew up.
Oh, yes.
And having the same name, we were
Kate and Kate.
Hit it off.
Yeah. You guys partied at the Korn concert.
We sure did.
And were you like, sing? I don't know any Korn songs.
I don't either. I don't think I did at the time.
Yes.
I have a Kate Hudson story as well. I'll just one up you. No, I can't one up. But I did have dinner at a restaurant right next to her. Yeah. And it was one of those things in the corner of your eye. You're like, whoa, there's some blonde having dinner with a homeless man. That's like. Like, this is like an episode of 90210. Like, and it was fucking Chris Robinson and Kate Hudson. I was like, oh, that's who they are.
Odd couple.
Yeah, he looked very unhealthy, skinny when I saw him. Like, it looked uncomfortably skinny.
Yeah, he's like 6'5".
Yeah.
6'5" and like 120.
Did you, when you were hanging out with Kate Hudson, did you maybe give her my number, Kate? Let her know I'm out here.
Yeah, I didn't know you, but I did give her your number.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, thanks. I was like 26.
She hasn't called yet.
Okay, so yes. Metal
she
Man Korn. She looked
good.
Yeah,
she's hot. Yeah. This is pre.
Almost Famous?
Yeah, pre Almost Famous.
Yeah, it was this right before Almost Famous. Okay, back to my story. Metal Band Korn have drafted a 12-year-old, none other than Metallica. The son of Metallica.
12.
Bassist, is he? Robert Trujillo?
Yeah. Former suicidal bassist.
Ty Trujillo's his name. He's 12 years old to fill in for Korn regular bassist Reginald Fieldy Arvizu?
I don't know.
I don't know how to say it.
I'm not too
I'm sorry, everybody.
I think
we're good with
this. I think that Korn guy
I feel like I do this all the time. I do this in real life, too. I mispronounce things all the time. Brian's always...
I think whatever pronunciation you decide for the band Korn is good enough.
Anyway, this kid's 12 and he's a little ripper and he's going on tour with Korn.
I mean,
it's very gimmicky, right?
Yeah, totally.
I don't care.
Yeah.
I think it's cute.
Yeah.
Go Ty.
I don't know. I feel like there's other guys you could have gotten.
It's odd to be hanging out with a 12-year-old. Who would choose to hang out with a 12-year-old?
I know. And that means that the kid's mom has to come, because it's not like the kid just like packs his gear and gets on a plane and goes to South America with Korn.
Yeah, there are child labor laws.
Well, not in South America.
I feel like
that's true.
Do you have to take a homeschooler?
Well, I think maybe it's in the summer. I think it's a summer tour.
Summer gig.
Yeah, interesting.
Pretty sweet summer gig. What were you guys doing when you were 12?
No, nothing.
Yeah. Not turning my R's backwards.
Little League.
So this next story is something I had no idea about. Did you guys know that when a new Supreme Court judge is appointed, that there's a hazing?
No.
What?
Thing that happens?
Care my motherfucking gavel.
Yeah.
Neil Gorsuch guy, which I will never get over.
I would be concerned with Clarence Thomas's hazing tactics as we are.
I'm not happy about this appointment.
Aware of his
predilections. But here's the thing. SCOTUS justices have a long-running tradition of assigning the newest high judge to junior justice duties, which include three specific tasks they must undertake until a new justice fills their spot, which could be years in the making. Yep. So Gorsuch is replacing Justice Elena Kagan, who for the last 6 years or so has had to personally answer the door if knocked on during meetings with the justices, take notes during those meetings, and the best, attend to grievances about cafeteria food leveled by court employees.
What the fuck? What? Isn't there administration there?
They all have assistants.
Yes, but that's part of the hazing ritual.
They got clerks for days. Can't one of maybe Gorsuch's clerk
that could
gets
do
the
it,
door?
But that's part of the hazing ritual.
Wow. Well, I'm not sure about this.
Wow.
Interesting. What else, Kate?
That's what happens. Just deciding what else I'm going to talk about.
Oh, you got some other stuff there?
Well, this isn't that exciting. But,
no, it isn't.
Well, so there's this former power business manager, Hollywood business manager, Jonathan Schwartz, who had a lot of high-profile clients,
interesting.
Alanis Morissette,
uh-huh.
who had a
manager?
Very serious yes. gambling problem. And
Arch Leister style
stole millions of dollars from clients.
This
and Lannis is one of the people who has sued him.
Well, every once in a while,
I guess he settled with her though.
You ought to know.
I think he's going to prison. Oh, nice. Ed.
Yes, you do go to prison for doing that.
Every once in a while, you'll hear like the city controller stole $2 million from the general fund, or like somebody fleeced the Little League out of 50 grand, and 100% of the time, it's fucking gambling. This fucking gambling can really, really fuck your life up if you let it get out of control.
Is it like sports gambling? Like what you just...
Yeah.
Or you...
I would say
sports,
it would be sports betting.
Also...
But
remember that one guy who was the drug czar, like under the first George Bush, William Bennett?
Yeah.
This guy was a real piece of shit. He would go on TV and be like, you fucking people, or like he was the drug czar, and he was a real warrior against people's behavior. Yeah. And it turns out the guy was losing like $3 million a year playing fucking slot machines. Like, somebody's goddamn grandmother pulling the handle.
Slot machines are so dumb.
The one-armed bandit.
Do you know what they remind me of when I see people en masse, like in Vegas? They remind me of hamsters on a wheel.
You know,
going round,
you know,
and round, and round.
Hands down, not even close, slot machines are
the biggest
money maker. Yeah.
I did know
that's
that.
Which is why more and more of the casino is slot machines.
Yeah. A lot of real estate in the casino.
It's Shocking. Everyone's chance when they walk through the casino, it's everyone's chance to judge the idiots. Like you're going to play and get taken by the house and something else. But everyone who walks by the slot machines, they're like, those these fucking assholes. Yeah, I'm gonna go play blackjack.
That's great. I love that. That's a great point, Ed. Okay, Kate, is that it? Ed and I have some Patreon only content to attend to.
That's it.
Okay.
But you guys, if anybody has any gambling addiction stories you'd like to share with us, even anonymously,
that is good.
We would like to hear about it.
Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, that could be good.
Do you know the golfer Phil Mickelson?
No.
Phil Mickelson. You don't?
Mm-mm.
He's very greasy. He's from San Diego.
He's got a big set of Mickelsons.
Yeah. He's got breasts. He's got
a set of Mike Pence's.
Gynomasty, whatever that's called, where you have man breasts. Anyway, he's a good player. I like him. He's left-handed. He just, this gambler in Las Vegas is on trial. And it came out in the trial that Phil Mickelson had to pay him $2 million for lost bets. And yeah, this Mickelson guy makes 50 million bucks a year, but still.
But you could see how a guy making that kind of dough.
Yes.
Could go under quickly.
Yes, and he supposedly loves to bet on golf. He likes to play games for money. I mean, he loves the action. That's the problem. These guys get addicted to the action. Okay, Kate, that's it?
That's it.
Okay, excellent job. Guys, check out,
good.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, check out patreon.com/theballerlifestyle for some bonus content. Ed Daly and I are going to be reviewing the roller disco scene from the television show Chips.
Ooh.
Kate, you want to sit in on that?
Ooh. Kate, do you know some 70s celebrities?
besides Mick Dundee, Paul Hogan?
I don't know, actually.
Yeah, you're from Australia. They didn't have Three's Company down there. Did you have Laverne and Shirley? Because Shirley shows up in this.
Yeah.
When I was Little House on the Prairie?
Yes, when I was really little.
Oh, you had Little House on the Prairie.
When I was like a
Laura Gilbert. Melissa Gilbert.
I remember. I must have been very young.
Ed, did I want to have sex?
Because I'm still very young.
That's who it, did I want to have sex with Melissa Gilbert? I can't remember. I think I might have.
Yes, not in the early years of that show. Later. Because,
later.
Like, yeah.
In her 30s. Okay. Sure. We're going to do that.
Are you guys recording now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
For Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 163 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Oh, hold on.
What?
Preview. Next week's show.
Very special episode.
Special edition. You guys love it when we review movies. We are reviewing a movie. The early
20 years old.
Yeah, the mid-90s Nicolas Cage classic Con Air will be reviewed on the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. It will be myself, Ed Daly, of course, and special guest, everyone loves him, Jason Stewart. Kate, you want in on that?
I've never actually seen
you've never
Con
seen
Air.
Con Air?
I think you would enjoy that.
We'll see if Kate pops in. She might just kibitz and jump in if she's around for that. So check that out. Next week, episode 165 will be the Baller Lifestyle Podcast review of Con Air. Check that out. Okay. Until then, for Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been episode 164 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Love you guys.